Bridge, the University of Texas at Austin's community-based learning podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by UT's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. We are your alternating co-hosts, Brianna Davis Johnson
and Lakia Omega.
We're both PhD candidates at UT's College of Education, and we promote community-based learning through our work at the Center for Community Engagement.
In this space, we share stories and best practices from UT instructors who connect on-campus learning and research with real-world community projects. Today's conversation is with Dr. Stephenson and Madeline Rosenthal from Dell Medical School. Dr. Stephenson is an associate professor of neurology and a former active duty Navy officer. He serves as the director of the Health Leadership Apprentice Program, known as HLA, at Dell Medical School. Madeline Rosenthal is a recent graduate and now program coordinator of HLA. We're so grateful to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
So why don't you start off? First, give us a snapshot of your community-based program and how you develop the relationships in your community to make your work possible.
Sure. So this is Steve. And the HLA program really started back in 2017 as recognizing that with the new medical school in Austin, there was a lot of interest from the main campus and largely from undergraduates, but not just at UT, but also at surrounding institutions like Houston-Tillotson and ACC and St. Edward's to try to work and partner with the medical school on some of our community-based initiatives that we were doing. And the challenge, one of the challenges we had was that there was just a lot of student interest, but a very minimal faculty, just the faculty to student ratio. And so we needed to develop a program or a way to recruit students and have students join us in some of our community-based research. And so the Health Leadership Apprentice Program, or HLA, was really started as a way to try to incorporate this huge amount of interest and passion and sort of ideas coming from the undergraduate community into some of the work that we were doing in the community at Dell Medical School.
Nice. That's really nice. And can you talk a little bit about like how you develop those relationships in the community to make this wonderful work possible?
Sure. So one of the things that HLA students, so the HLA program has evolved quite substantially since its beginning. And it started out as a very small pilot program to sort of see what was possible. And one of the things we realized early on was that initially, the program was really about more partnering students with faculty who are working in the community. Mm-hmm. And what we realized very quickly is that we had very limited number of faculty to partner with the amount of students that we were bringing in, but we had a tremendous number of community partners who were willing to partner with students. Mm-hmm. And so how could we begin to actually place students in the community as part of ongoing community projects? And the idea was is that there is this huge interest from the student body in working with the community, but a lot of students don't know what opportunities are available in the community that align to their interests. They just aren't aware of it or don't have the means to sort of search it out. And on the other side, the community partners also don't necessarily have the resources to go recruit students to work with them. They need to use their resources to work on the community projects that they're doing. And so we realized very quickly that DelMed and the HLA program could sort of serve as that intermediary, as one potential source of volunteers for the community to actually work on community-based projects. So we began to go out and actually try to reach out to community partners. And we already had a lot of community partners, being sort of the new medical school in the community, who were reaching out to us already. And so it was sort of this very nice fit of recognizing, on the one hand, a huge pool of very highly qualified, energetic students who were willing to work in the community with community partners, and on the other side, having community partners who were coming to us asking for support and help in the work that they were doing. Nice. And so HLA provided a nice bridge to allow us to do that.
That's amazing. And so in thinking about like forming those relationships with the community partners, now that this program is initiated and established, how do you maintain the relationships with the community partners?
Yeah, so it's been one of the early lessons in the program was when we first piloted assigning students to the community, we ran into some logistical issues around how do we sustain these programs and sustain these relationships and ongoing projects. The other problem is that in the beginning, the students were sort of charged with identifying some of the projects that they might want to work on in the community. And we very quickly realized that that was the wrong approach, that what we should be doing instead is the community is coming to us with the challenges that they're having, they're already telling us what those challenges are. What if we just assign students to some of those problems to tackle those problems rather than trying to invent, you know, sort of some new project or something? Well, one of the amazing opportunities that we had to align with another project was within our Department of Population Health at Dell Medical School, we have something called the Community Driven Initiatives or CDI project. And what CDI does is that they have a proposal process with the community where community members, not even like community organizations necessarily, it could be some, you know, single mom working in, you know, somewhere in East Austin has an idea on how to improve health in the community. It's a very simple proposal process. They do this, I think, once a year. Is that right,
Yeah, Anna? I know that they have the proposal process at different points throughout the year. And like Z was saying, we have our population health department actually review those proposals and select certain projects. But of course, there's a long list of projects that, you know, aren't being actively worked on. And that's where our students can come in and work alongside population health, sort of that guidance along with our team to work on this project and really get that experiential learning opportunity of working hands-on with the community.
Yeah, we learned, you know, from our Department of Population Health came to us and said, you know, we have about 200 or so of these applications that come in, and we can only fund a certain number of them or work on a certain number of them, but there are these amazing proposals that are coming in from our community partners. And we, on the other side, were saying, we're looking for ideas from the community. So it was this really nice marriage of two different elements within Dell Med. And so now when our students come in, they're assigned to a house, one of six different houses in the HLA program. And each house is charged with trying to identify one of those projects that the community has already put forward as a proposal to work on in combination or in concert with the Department of Population Health and directly with the community partner. So the community partner really is leading sort of the effort, and now they have a group of six, you know, highly energized students to work with them on taking their proposal to sort of that next level. And I always tell our students, you know, you're not going in to solve the problem necessarily because you've got very limited time to do that. But what you're trying to do is to raise the foundation upon which that community partner is standing. Give them the resources necessary, either through the kind of research that you can do into where similar projects have gone on elsewhere in the country, why they succeeded or failed, writing proposals or grant opportunities for funding for those particular organizations, trying to elevate or raise the platform upon which that community member is standing. They felt alone usually when they first submitted their proposal. Mm-hmm. They're no longer alone. They have this sort of group of students who are working with them to, again, just sort of elevate where that community member is sort of starting from so that they can go to city council, so that they can go to, you know, different funding organizations to seek funding. They now have, you know, much more sort of in their background that the students really help them with. And that's not to say that the students don't do more hands-on stuff with the community members, too, because they actively go out and actually look at and work and partner in the community. And Madeline actually was one of our HLA students about a year ago now, prior to her graduating and coming on to be the coordinator, and was actually partnered with one of our community members. And you might want to talk about that.
Yeah, so my group, we were part of the Greenhouse, right? One of the houses in the program. We were partnered with the Volunteer Healthcare Clinic, which is a charitable clinic over in pretty central Austin, and works to serve the uninsured population through Monday night clinics of chronic disease management. So every Monday, patients go in and have an appointment with a volunteer physician. They had originally the Volunteer Healthcare Clinic had a patient education program, which involved playing a series of videos during the time that the patients were in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. So our group was able to work with the Volunteer Healthcare Clinic staff and say, you know, how can we sort of help and ramp up some of these presentations so that they're a little bit more engaging than just videos? And I think kind of going back to that question of, you know, how are we having that partnership with the community member, it was really nice to be able to work with the staff at BHC and say, hey, you know, what do you need here and how can we help you with that? But also, you know, making it a sustainable program and working with your current volunteers to sort of reorganize any extra volunteers to help with, you know, some ongoing presentations. So since summer of 2018, we've been working, summer of 2019, we've been working with BHC to put on presentations every Monday about the topics that our patient population is interested in. So we do a survey and say, you know, they're interested in learning more about nutrition tips. And we actually are able to create those presentations alongside professionals in the field, as well as the clinic staff. So the clinic staff approves all of our presentations and gives feedback. And again, I think it goes to speak kind of what Steve said is, you know, the resources that the clinic needs, they need to run the operations of, you know, having patients come in and out of the clinic. But it would be really nice to have a program like this run sort of alongside and underneath VHC. And so that's where our group got to come in. And it's been a really great experience. And we're excited to look forward towards sustainability and also helping to integrate the program more independently and within VHC's work.
That's amazing. And what I hear is just this whole idea of a lot of the focus of the work comes from like the needs of the community, and a lot of it is structured around that, which is great. And leads me to my next question. What are three or so aspects that are essential to ensuring that your community-based work is conducted with and not simply on the community? Like making sure you really stay away from like, we're not, you know, conducting a research or doing this work on the community, but actually like that partnership and doing
yeah, it. Yeah, and that was sort of what I mentioned. It was one of those like aha obvious moments in mm-hmm. hindsight, where initially we were coming in saying, oh, we know there are issues in healthcare and delivery of healthcare in Central Texas. What are some ideas that we can begin to tackle? And that was the initial approach that we took, and only to realize very quickly, like, wait, that is not a way to go in, mm-hmm. particularly when we're going to rely on community partners to mm-hmm. do some of these efforts, or that we're going to need to rely on them because they have a connection into the community that we don't have. And so the move to partner with Population Health was that sort of recognition and realization that we already have a program where community members are actively soliciting help for the challenges that they're seeing in their community. Why not just partner with that? Why not just align to that? And so now it's a mandatory requirement that the houses can't just come up with their own idea. It mm-hmm. has to be driven by the community members. So they actually meet one on six, I guess, with the community members to actually have a discussion and to try to flesh out like what are the needs that you have and how can we begin to address those needs, or at least provide support for how the community member might address those needs. So one of the, that was sort of one of the early sort of recognition of the challenge. What I've also come in and said is that it's very important, in my opinion, a lot of times with in working with undergraduates in particular, my experience has been they just come with so much energy, so much passion right out of the gate that they want to solve the problem, mm-hmm. right? They want to come in and they want to like, they know the answer and they're just going to solve the problem. But the challenge often is about sustainability in that, and the fact that they're just not going to be able to do that in the time course that they have. You know, finals get in the way, tests get in the way, courses get in the way, a new semester hits and they have an organic chemistry lab now, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so trying to reset some of the expectations a little bit when you're working with community members, and to say, actually coming in, it's kind of arrogant to say that, mm-hmm. to come in and say that you're going to now solve this problem that they've been living with. So instead, can we just provide them with, you know, again, the resources necessary to sort of elevate the platform upon which they're standing? Because right now they feel, not all of them, but, you know, feel sort of isolated, alone, or don't really have the kind of resources that they envision that, you know, a university has at our disposal. And so how can we leverage some of the resources that we have to elevate the position that that community member is approaching the problem in their community? The other way is to sort of recognize that in order to sustain this beyond, I always ask the students when they, you know, pitch an idea to me and say, okay, who's going to be running this 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Because it's not going to be you, mm-hmm. right? And so you can't enter the proposal or the idea and working with a community partner assuming that you're going to be running it. Instead, it needs to be the community. And so one of the early things I tried to get our students to do, and this has happened in a couple of our projects now that are mature, like the volunteer health clinic, is to say, engage the community members actually actively in the work that you're doing, so that they are the ones taking control. They have a perspective and a life experience dealing with whatever issue you're trying to address, and they are going to bring an altogether different perspective to how your proposed solutions or solution sets or the kind of work that you're doing for them is going to play out. So at the very early stage, try to identify community members who are coming to your events or coming to these events that might actually be a very great partner to sustain this effort. And now you've given them a resource that they didn't have before. So whether it's the educational content that Madeline was talking about, that now they have this sort of bank of educational content that maybe a volunteer or maybe a patient who had come to the event could actually now be one of the presenters, right? And actually talk about living with diabetes from their perspective, their life experience, rather than, you know, a college student getting up and talking about diabetes or living with diabetes. So really trying to include community members early on in the process was, you know, something else that we had sort of seen as one of the things that we needed to address.
Dr. Stephenson and Madeline, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge Podcast, produced by the Center for Community Engagement under the Division of Diversity and Community Engagement at UT Austin.
Stay connected with us at utcce.org/podcast, where you'll find more community-based learning resources. See you next time.